I'm kind of excited. There is a in the Nashville Children's Museum, there is a beehive that they have, and you can see it's leads to outside, and the bees go and they come back, and they're taken care of by this museum. And I've always heard that there are people who do this, and I've seen my friend Rick Geezer have photos of his son doing this. So he asked me, he's like, would you ever be interested in Ricky coming in and talking about being a beekeeper? And I said, how quickly did I say yes? About very quickly? They say very, very quick. Very quick. Yes, I said yes very quickly. But then he told me that Ricky Geezer was going off to the University of Illinois and he'd be living in the Allen Hall dorms. And I was like, we have so much to talk about, because that was my old dorm. Joining me in studio is Jen Zanotti, hanging out Hello. For Motivational Monday, and I am excited that someone was motivated to start beekeeping. Ricky, how did you get started in raising bees?
Well, really, this was 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I had to write an essay. It was like an open-ended, like, what do you want to do? Or it was like, you just do whatever, and just convince me on something. So I was like, what am I going to write on? My mom had the news on, and it was saying that was when the species of bees in Hawaii were going endangered.
Right.
Like when they first put them on the list. And I was like, I'll write about bees. So from that, then I had to learn all about them, learn everything about it. And I was like, well, maybe I should start doing this. It seems pretty cool.
What part of it drew you to it, as far as like the idea that we do have certain, that we are vulnerable if, you know, bees become extinct, or if they're endangered, or if their population diminishes? Was that part of what drew you to it as well?
Yeah, partially. And what most people think of when they think of like the bees, their population declining, they think about honeybees. But honeybees aren't even from North America. Like, they're from Europe, they're from Asia, they're from Africa. The ones that we generally use are European, because they're just what we use. But there are about 4,000 native bees in North America, native species. So even things just, you wouldn't think of it, but like bumblebees, mm-hmm. they're native to here. And there are little tiny ones, little down to millimeter sized. And most people don't realize that. And that was something that I learned about when I was writing the essay. Was because I was researching it, and I was like, there's so many different kinds that I didn't even know about. Like, there's one called the blueberry bee, which it just goes to blueberry bushes. Like,
incredible. And well, then if they go to the blueberry bushes, then are they pollinating? Mm-hmm.
We
need them for certain types of fruits,
yeah,
vegetables.
Exactly.
What kind of bees are you raising?
Well, I have a hive of honeybees at a friend's house. But I also have little houses on the front of my house for the native bees. And the native bees, they don't live in a hive. They don't live in a big colony. They just live alone. Some of them lay their eggs in a tube, like a reed or something, just laying on the ground. And they're called mason bees. And they're called mason bees because basically they do mason work. Like, they lay an egg in the tube and they go grab wet mud from the ground and they putty it up. And they just keep doing that, putting more and more chambers on there with eggs in it until it's fully used up. And the funny thing about it is that they put the males at the front of it because they're expendable.
We're not laughing at that. But the idea being that the girl bees have to keep producing eggs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're the important ones.
So they're building shelter for the eggs in order to protect them while they're waiting to hatch.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you decide to get the mason bees then? Is there a particular draw to them?
Well, it's partially just because they're native to here. Like, I didn't have to get any of them. Like, I put the thing out, like the little house out, and there they were.
How long did that take?
I put it out in the spring, and they were there in the spring.
Oh, really?
Like, they were just in like cracks in the brickwork on the house.
Okay.
Or just like in a hole in a tree, something like that.
What were your parents' reaction when you said, I want to start beekeeping?
Well, I was kind of nervous to ask them because I didn't know how they were going to react. And I was like, hey guys, can we get a beehive? And they're like, sure. Like, it really wasn't like there wasn't any like pushback about
Okey
it.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
Is there now, are mason bees, do they have stingers?
They do, but they won't sting you. Because
they
don't have anything to protect like a honeybee colony does.
Okay.
Because they have to protect, you know, the whole. They have to protect their queen. But the mason bees, they just lay their eggs and then they die. Like the only way they would sting you is if like you intentionally like you touch them, like you grab them.
Right.
But if you're just like, I've been up not closer than a foot, like my face closer than a foot from them, and they just fly.
And why would you do that? Not
just cause.
I'm not saying you shouldn't, Michael. I get the feeling you're curious about this.
Yeah.
Are you, Michael? Are you interested in beekeeping?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm always interested in beekeeping. It's one of my my one dreams in my life that I wish I could have been a part of. Except for I hate insects. It's the only thing.
That seems like that would be a drawback.
Yeah, I wonder, but I love honey.
Do you, now, are there fellow beekeepers that you communicate with for advice, or you know, what are the, you know, because it seems as I've heard that there are rooftop beehives throughout the city of Chicago for people who want. Yeah, I know.
Oh.
I was surprised as well. There's somebody who does mead. They make mead out of the honey as well. So is there a community that you're in contact with constantly?
Yeah, I'm actually part of an organization called the Cook DuPage Beekeepers Association. So it's a group of all these people from the area who, you know, there's people like me who are just a couple years in, and there's people who've been doing it for 40 years.
Right.
So it's a huge resource, and you can, there's meetings, you know, every month pretty much. And it's a great resource.
So beyond put, I know, isn't it? I know. I never
knew there was so much involvement with beekeeping.
I'm pretty sure if Griffin knew about this, I think that I'm surprised he hasn't already asked me.
He'd be in.
Yeah, he'd be all in. I know. I'm sure it'd be cool about it. Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
Are there any other besides putting the housing for the mason bees? What else do you have to provide? Like, is there any sort of vegetation that is better for them? Any sort of flower or?
Well, for the native bees, especially, you want to plant like prairie plants or just things that are native to here. But also probably my favorite type of mason bee is called the leafcutter bee, which they do the same stuff, but instead of using mud, they cut little circles out of leaves and they roll it up like parchment and fly away with it.
I was wondering who was doing that.
Yeah. Like if you look like a perfect little circle.
Have you ever seen a leaf with a perfect circle in it?
Mm-hmm. Mystery exposed.
Wait a minute. Wow. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. So they make the hole so they can kind of grab it and roll it up.
Yeah, they land on the leaf and it's within 5 seconds. They just snip, 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 snip with their mouth and then they fly away.
I need to put a camera on my
leaves.
That's
amazing.
I love that.
Yeah, like I have this little plant out front and it's specifically, they love it because it's all chewed up.
What kind of plant is that?
I have no idea.
You just know that they
I
like
really
it.
Don't know.
See, because before I had the boys, I had more time to garden. So I did butterfly garden. So
okay.
I planted like purple cone flowers and black-eyed Susans. And again, plants that are sort of indigenous to the area that might draw butterflies that would be in the area. I don't know that I would be hesitant to try bees, but I'm curious. Have you seen the video that's gone viral of the woman that says her soulmate was this bee seen this?
Yeah, the little bumblebee.
It's a little bumblebee and she like takes care, it's injured.
Stop
and it just like
it.
Cuddles with her and like, oh yeah.
Yeah, she's just like holding it, just crawling on her hand.
Mm-hmm.
I have to watch this.
Michael, you seem suspicious of this.
She befriended a bee?
Yes. She found an injured bee in her garden, brought it in and helped nurse it back to health, and he just hung out with her.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. It's a little fuzzy bee. Do you ever try to get that close to a bee? No.
I'm afraid of getting stung.
Wait a minute. I'm so confused. So... So it's a good thing he put the headphones on. So do you said you have a friend where you also keep honeybees. Mm-hmm. How does that sort of relationship work with your friend?
Well, I asked them because I bought the bees and I bought the hive without a place to put them. So initially I asked a church nearby and they were like, well, you need to get like insurance that covers up to $1 million. So I left. I was asking around and I asked my friend and she said, you know, I'll talk to my parents because they might want it in there in their backyard because they have like 20 apple trees, nice big piece of land. And so I ended up going to their house, talking to their parents, and I'm friends with their parents too. And it's there now.
So is that the kind where they have like the big, like the stacked, it looks like stacked wood, sort of the crates almost?
I actually have that one... I'm not using that one this year, but I have a different one. It's basically that laid on its side.
Okay.
So that the one that I'm using is called a top bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like think of a feeding trough for like pigs or horses or whatever with slats of wood on top. Okay. And then the bees build down from those slats of wood. They build the honeycomb off of that.
Oh.
Wow. And then are you able to then, I guess, have honey?
Yeah, I haven't gotten it this year, or last year, I guess, because you don't want to get it the first year because that's what they eat over the winter.
Well, that makes sense. Now, I'd heard that, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but if you consume honey that is for the byproduct of bees in your own community and from your own area, it's better for you for your allergies.
Yeah, that's what
heading into allergy season. Is something you're familiar with?
Yeah, it's something I've heard. I haven't tried it just because I don't really have allergies, but I've suggested it to many people.
Brag about things like that. I don't know. Well, because you're supposed to do it, I think, before like the allergy season hits, mm-hmm. and I always forget to get like regional honey.
Yeah.
And so this has been a particularly bad, bad allergy season for people.
Horrible.
I've got to remember to do it. I don't know if it's too late in the season. I'm not sure. We have some questions from listeners, both about the. Does a mason bee produce consumable honey?
Mm-mm, no, they don't. Farmers do use them, though. They use them for pollination, though, because they're about 70 to 100 times better than a honeybee for pollination. But no, they don't produce honey. They just get the pollen and nectar from the flowers, make it into this little loaf to feed to their baby, and that's it.
Okay, there you go. If anyone has more questions, I believe that Ricky is ready to answer your questions. Ricky Geezer joins us in studio. He is now fighting a lion eye. Very excited for that. We'll talk more about the bees, and I know some people have questions about the schedule. Before I go to the break, someone's asking about Dr. Dingman. On the nights that we are on on the Wednesdays when we're on until 1 a.m., we will have Dr. Dingman on, I believe. We have to talk to Andrea. The thing is, Andrea is on vacation, so I do have to work with her and find out and sort of get a feel for what she envisions our show being like, but we will find a place for Dr. Dingman. For those who adore him and for those who don't like him, chances are there might be a little bit less of Dingman. I don't know. We'll see. More after this. Give us a call or text us at 312-981-7200. Again, the number is 312-981-7200. More with Ricky Geezer and Jen Zanotti when we come back, and I will go over the schedule again. More after this. I'll be your honey. Michael's just looking for songs that have the word honey in it. I was waiting for him. Like, there's got to be honey in here somewhere. Producer Michael Heidemann, again, demonstrating his extraordinary executive producer skills. Joining me in studio is Jen Zanotti. She is our jujitsu expert and Motivational Monday expert. And are you motivated to start beekeeping as a result of our conversation with
am.
Ricky Geezer?
I want some honey.
I want to know if you want to keep bees. Do you want? I kind of want to be a beekeeper. But your father was telling me off the air the reason that you don't have the bees at your. Did we say that on the air? It's because it's not allowed in your community.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So in your neighborhood, they don't allow bees because I think that some of the I live in a suburb and have houses upon houses. Are there hives that are acceptable to those types of areas?
It's really
depends.
Depends. Yeah.
On your community.
Like. In the town that I live in Carroll Stream, you can't, but...
Even though your dad's in the Chamber of Commerce and the trustees, it's still...
Seeing what we can do.
I'm just saying. Rick's like, could you stop? But you were also... Oh, wait, we have a listener who wants to join the conversation. Hi, Daniel. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What do you want to say?
So we were just... we were school friends of Ricky's. There's a bunch of us listening to him right now.
Oh, Danny Weber.
We were just wondering... Hey, Ricky, what's up?
Hey, Danny.
Hey.
So we were just wondering what kind of beekeeping opportunities you'll have at University of Illinois next in the fall.
Oh, look at that. Great question.
I'm not exactly sure about beekeeping itself, but I'm pretty sure they have hives on campus or in the area. But currently, I'm actually working on an internship through the university.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
And so like what we're doing is we're going to urban and suburban areas and surveying native bee populations. So not the honeybees necessarily, but like what I was saying, like the mason bees, the leafcutter bees. And we're seeing like what's in the area basically by season in different types of gardens. And that's an internship through the university.
Now, Daniel, you also are a beekeeper?
No, I am not a beekeeper. I'm a pianist.
Oh, like those are two separate things. Like you can't do both or something. Oh, that's cool.
I wish.
Well, thanks for calling, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank
you, Ricky.
See ya.
See ya. Another listener wants to know what you do with your bees during the winter.
Well, with the honeybees, my philosophy with the honeybees is they've been doing this for millions of years without us, so why do I have to butt in?
You're not intervening, right?
But basically, like, what the honeybees do over the winter is they get in a big ball around the queen and they shake to keep it a nice 72 degrees in there.
Really?
And then they just move through the hive eating the honey. Like I said earlier, they just go through eating the honey.
Oh, that is so cool.
It's and nice to be queen.
It is.
Yeah. And the native bees, I just brought like those little houses. I just took them off the front of the house and just put them in the garage.
Okay.
But you don't really have to do anything for them because, I mean, they lay the eggs and then they come back next year.
And how would you encourage, what would you say to people to encourage them if they have any sort of inclination to try this? What would you say to them to motivate them to take the step?
To take the step to become a beekeeper and do that? Well, it's our future, you know? Without them, we don't have food. We don't have chocolate. I love chocolate. All that, you know, all your favorite foods, they'd probably be gone.
All right.
And I want to say I read 2/3 of all food that we produce, we depend on bees for it.
Well, let me take a quick break here, and I want to wrap up with you, and I also want to say congratulations on going to the University of Illinois, the greatest university. I'm just saying. I love it. It's going to ruin you for life because you're going to have so much fun. More after this. And I mean that both with, like, school and everything. So congratulations on that. More after this on 720 WGN.